3 o'clock, Raul. By the way, are you content to be the second smartest person on the show, Ireland? Because we were going to do a Jeopardy rematch, but I haven't heard anything about that since. Do you want to do a Jeopardy rematch?
Anytime, anywhere. Okay. And let's see if Lindsay can keep from making the deciding question a question about your favorite book of all time.
Okay. Lindsay, tomorrow. Who's smartest? We're going to do a round of Jeopardy tomorrow. Me and Ireland, make them tough, okay?
Okay.
What's okay?
Well, I have to do, it's also, I have to do a game tomorrow for Game of Games, and I have to do Game of Games and Jeopardy.
All right, so do Jeopardy Thursday.
You've got 21 hours, Lindsay. You
no,
don't
do
think
Jeopardy.
You can do both?
I mean, it's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah,
if you want me to pull actual Jeopardy questions, and I have to vet them out to make sure that they're not favoring anybody, it's going to take me a while.
Okay, all right, we'll do it Thursday. We'll do it Thursday.
21 hours.
21 hours is what you got, Lindsay, to get ready for the show. I don't know. I think that should be a primary goal of yours. All right. So, Ireland, you mentioned something about Tom Brady and the Super Bowl and
no,
streakers.
Okay. So, here's what happened at the Super Bowl this year. There were two guys, one named Uri and one named Doug. All right.
Yep.
They streaked. They ran naked onto the field at Raymond James Stadium during the final quarter of the Super Bowl. Now, they didn't show this a lot on TV. They never show streakers on TV, but it was a big deal for those who were in Tampa. An attorney for those two guys reached an agreement with the prosecution to plead guilty to misdemeanor trespassing. They would serve 6 months of probation, complete 25 community service hours, pay all court costs, and write a letter of apology to the NFL.
Hmm.
The judge, a guy named Jack Gutman, said, not enough. He's rescheduled so he can give him a heavier sentence.
Really?
Which will likely include a year of probation, more than 25 hours of community service, and a heavier fine. The judge says he wants to set an example out of these two idiots so nobody does it again next year. Is the judge being too tough on the streakers?
Yeah, I think he's being irrationally tough on the streakers. I mean, in the end, it really didn't have much. We didn't see it. We didn't even know what happened. They never show that stuff. There was a great play-by-play call of it on the radio. Somebody, I think whoever was calling the game, it might have been Kevin Harlan or one of those guys, said it was the longest run of the day. But I think it's completely harmless in the end. You should not do it. It should not be encouraged. It should be discouraged. But to go harder than that in terms of a crime, I think is overbearing and not right.
Lindsay, what do you think?
I think that for some people who really wanted the gavel slammed on Michael Thompson for his alleged Googling, that I think that the streakers did much worse. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait, so you would give the streakers a tougher sentence?
Well, I'm saying that you guys seem like you would want to because
we're asking you, Lindsay. We're not asking you what we think. We're asking you what you think.
I think they should really set an example with them so nobody ever does it again.
Oh, you're what's wrong? Hey, what's wrong with a little running naked?
Hey, we actually found the call from the Super Bowl of the streaker. Good job, Jorge.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. Lord, now they're cuffing him. But pull up his drawers, whatever you do. 5:03 to go, timeout on the field. Buccaneers lead it 31-9. Let's step aside. You're listening to Super Bowl.
Okay, so is that Kevin Harlan?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great call.
Of course it is. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, you know what? I think the streaking, the 70s was a big era for streaking.
Yep.
It really,
remember somebody streaked at the Oscars?
Yeah, you could actually see it. Somebody ran behind David Niven at the Oscars back in the 70s. There, it was so popular that there was even a song called The Streak
Ray Stevens.
In the 70s. Who was it?
Ray Stevens. It went Ray to number Stevens. One. That
yeah.
Song.
Yeah. Streaking was a thing. I'd love to see it come back. Don't they have like a big naked run at UCLA where everybody runs?
The undie run.
The undie run.
Yeah. You don't, you're not naked. You run in your underwear.
Yeah. Wait, that's, wait. That's still going on?
I think they probably got kneecapped by the pandemic, if I had
yeah,
to guess.
Right. Right.
Were you guys ever around when they had, she wasn't a streaker, but she would run out onto the field and she was like called Marlena, I think, the kissing bandit.
Morgana.
Morgana.
Show some respect.
There was a documentary about it. That's how I
By
know.
By the way, this is the streak. Turn it up, Jorge. Yeah, this was the number one song in the country.
God.
But did
God,
you guys ever see Morgana? Thinking. Did you ever see her in person?
I have seen Morgana in person. I've
oh,
seen
really?
I more than once.
I don't know if she's still around.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But I always thought that was harmless too.
Morgana running
like
out and kissing guys.
Yeah, it was a fascinating bit that she did.
Yeah, it was a good
she
bit.
Got pretty famous, right?
Good bit. We're all about the bits. So, you know one thing I noticed today? So a friend of mine, I don't want to say who it is, but a friend of mine has been posting inspirational quotes on Facebook.
Okay.
You know, you've seen these, right? Like, you know, hope and I pray to God that this passes or whatever these
right.
inspirational quotes are.
Right.
And I've come to believe that the level of somebody's mental breakdown can be measured by the number of inspirational quotes they post. Anybody who posts one of those is obviously having some
That's
sort
not
of
true.
Issue.
No,
that is
matter,
true.
Matter of fact, if somebody goes through a tough time, I have a bunch of quotes on my phone.
Yeah.
And if somebody loses somebody or they, you know, they're going through a tough time, I will never post these, but I will always send them to that person saying, hey, when you get weird, pull these out, look at them. It'll help you get through the day. I think those quotes can help people.
You do.
Yeah. Now I wouldn't post them though, because you know, then they're just out there for everybody, but you know,
Facebook is one thing, but I think like I follow a few accounts on Instagram. That's all they post. And I love reading them every day.
Do you really? I
yeah.
find them so annoying. It's like,
don't
try to
accounts.
Inspire me on the Facebook. I'm not looking for inspiration.
Facebook is usually directed at somebody or they're hoping somebody sees it. I don't think Facebook is the place for inspirational.
Yeah,
quotes,
obviously somebody's looking to build their brand, which is I'm having a mental breakdown.
Mason, how do you have time to check? You're on Facebook, you're on Instagram, you're
yeah.
on Twitter, you're
you know what?
Emailing.
Here's what's interesting about it. So I do not – is my mic going in and out? I do not scroll. I'm not a scroller. Like a lot of people on Instagram will just sit and look at pictures and pictures and pictures. I'm not a scroller. Like I'll put a picture out there, but then it just goes away for me. And Facebook, I never look at my wall. I never look at any of that stuff. I do post stuff, but I don't read a lot or react to a lot, except for friends. And like Chris Morales, our friend Chris Morales, he needs a lot of affirmation. It is really difficult to, you know, every one of his pictures is him on the 18th hole at Blackpool.
Wait a minute. This is coming from the guy who admittedly listens to affirmations every night when he goes to sleep.
Yeah, those are my personal affirmations. I'm not telling everybody I'm having a mental breakdown.
Okay.
It's a completely different thing.
Okay.
Completely
okay.
different. All right, coming up next for you, I want to actually hear from people on this. 877-710-ESPN. Who should start and play the most at center for the Lakers? Who should play the five the most? Last night, Marc Gasol, obviously excellent. We just got Andre Drummond, who last night was very underwhelming. And a lot of people have rallied for Marc Gasol when he was kind of the whipping boy for the early part of the year. 877-710-ESPN. We will work in some of your calls. Plus, here's the – I mentioned earlier I grew up fishing and hunting. I will tell you about a fisherman who is doing it completely, and I mean completely wrong. That's coming up for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and – the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Because Darth Vader is what he is.
Chris is dark. Yeah, he's Darth Vader because he wants to destroy.
He walks
everyone.
Into a room, he leaves a long black shadow.
Or as Keyshawn would say, Dark Vader.
Yeah. Darth Morales, good way to put it. By the way, coming up, we're going to give away two of those Dia de los Muertos Dodgers bobbleheads, which are super cool, so make sure you keep on listening for that.
All right, Victor in Rancho Cucamonga is online. He wants to weigh in on this Drummond-Gasol thing. Hi, Victor. How are you?
I'm terrific, man. How are you guys?
Everything is great.
Good, 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 man. I've been a fan for a long time. I hated Mason for a long time, but I'm kind of warming up to
you. Why'd you hate me? Why'd you hate me?
Because you never agreed with – I never agreed with any of your takes. You never said anything that seemed to make sense to me, and you looked from a point of view that I could tell it was a non-athlete.
But wow. that's not fair.
But it's accurate.
It's accurate. I mean, I played ball in high school, but I didn't play after that. But that doesn't make any – I mean, it doesn't take away my ability to speak. So you've come
it's
around
right.
on me
it's
anyway.
It's all right. I love you now, man. You've grown on me.
All right, good.
All right,
good.
So, Victor, what would you do with Drummond and Gasol?
Well, first of all, I didn't like either one of those moves. I was mad that we disrespected Dwight and have him bail out on us on the Gasol move. I think Gasol's overrated. And then we went and got Drummond, who I called the Candy Man. When you look at his stats, they look amazing, but he has no impact on the game for us whatsoever, and he's not as good a defender as we assumed. But here's what I do see is that move has actually lit a fire under Marc Gasol, and now we're getting something out of him that we had not got prior to that move. So it may actually serve us in the end.
Yeah, by the way, I agree with you about Andre Drummond. The stats have always looked fantastic, but up close, they're not as impressive as you think they are.
Yeah, I like Drummond. I think that he's still kind of getting used to playing with these other Laker guys, but he's a big body who defends and grabs a lot of rebounds. You know, last night he had zero rebounds. That's the first time in over 600 games.
Wow.
He didn't have any rebounds. Very weird.
Yeah. I know I wasn't sure about our – what was our caller's name?
Victor.
I wasn't – at first I didn't like Victor.
Like, we need him to be at the top of his game. We need him to want a championship like Lakers – want championships, and he doesn't seem to have that in him except for every second week.
Hey, Victor, at the beginning of your call, I kind of didn't like you, but over the course of the last 60 seconds, you grew on me. So
thank you for calling, Victor.
Glad to hear from you. Glad to hear from you, man.
All right, here is Jason in Downey. Hey, Jason, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
So I am living proof that Frank Vogel listens to this show, because Mason, you read my email yesterday about saying how at first we were stoked about the West Matthews and Gasol sighting, and they didn't barely even hit the court. And what happened yesterday? They hit the court and they hit it running. So our boy Frank is listening. So good job, Mason. Thanks for reading my email. I think this has to go with John. You always implement the Lamar Odom role,
right?
I remember you said Phil took him out and made him a sixth man. And he didn't start, but he finished. And I think with Drummond, you have to start him, because or else you don't want to disinterest Drummond going into the playoffs. And, you know, listening to free agents and buyout markets, you're right, John. It's going to get through. I know we want to win now, Mace, but, I mean, I can't go through another spew of free agents don't want to come because the Lakers don't keep their word. So if Drummond is ineffective like he was yesterday, next man up. Lakers in five. Have a great day, boys.
Lakers right, in thanks, five.
Man. Hey, so, you know, part of this, you got to get a little luck. You know, my big hope is
we're having some bad luck at the moment.
Right. Well, my big hope is that the Lakers avoid the play-in tournament selfishly, so I can take a week off.
Yes.
And they can take a week off.
Yep.
But this just came down. Dallas, you know, Dallas, the Lakers, and Portland are basically tied. The Lakers went a half game up on them last night. So tonight, Dallas plays Miami. The Heat just released this injury report. Jimmy Butler, flu-like symptoms. Tyler Hero, foot. And Victor Oladipo, knee, have all been ruled out for tonight's game against Dallas. That ain't right, man. Put up a fight. Would you please, Miami?
Ireland, this is the NBA's fault. They're the ones that are trying to squeeze in three seasons in 2 years. It is really unfair to players, and I understand why they're resting. I mean, these aren't the games that matter. The games that matter are coming up in May and June and July. So I understand why you would rest a guy. 71 days between seasons is not enough time. The NBA has rushed the whole thing. I think that's why we've seen major injuries in the league, because of overwork. I think the NBA has messed up the way they've scheduled things.
Well, they were in between a rock and a hard place. And
right.
Let me explain why. All right. They were trying to save a season.
Yep.
The players knew that if they didn't play, then the CBA would be torn up, so they had to play. They wanted to play as many games as possible to honor their TV contracts. The players get 50% of all this money, so the players agree to some things they probably wouldn't agree to in other years. But they're trying to survive in a pandemic, so it's hard to criticize the NBA. It is their fault. But what other thing could they do? Would you have wanted them to play less games?
No, I think they should have started the season later. Give guys a longer break than 71 days.
And
it's
run,
not long
and
enough
run,
between seasons.
And put the finals up against the Olympics?
Put the finals up against the Olympics. When do the Olympics start?
The day after the NBA finals.
No, do they really?
Yeah.
They start in July?
The Olympics always start in July.
Well, then there should be a longer break between now and November when they start. Start with Christmas. That's the best way for the NBA to launch its season, is start at Christmas every year. Christmas Day, national tradition, like the
right,
first
day of
baseball.
Right, but that doesn't solve the problem in front of you now.
Sure, no. The problem in front of us now, guys resting, is unsolvable. It's already over. But you can avoid it for next year by delaying the season a little bit.
Right.
I just think it's too many games in too short a period of time. That's why we're seeing so much DNP rest. That's why we're seeing major injuries to major stars in the league. It's overwork and too short of time between seasons. So I understand when guys rest. I understand when guys sit down. Don't you?
Well, I think it's a byproduct of what you're trying to do. But at the same time, I don't think it's – I don't really blame anybody for it. The NBA had to put on a product. They shorten the game by 10 certain season by 10 games. They're playing 72 instead of 82.
Teams with 5 games in 7 days right now.
Right, but I kind of agree with Mark Cuban. Maybe the play-in tournament this year wasn't the smartest idea in the world.
Oh, screw Cuban. He voted for it. You can't vote for it and then say, oh, it was a bad idea. He voted for it. He liked the idea. He said nice things about it. And at the governor's meeting, he said yes. You're not allowed to now say, oh, no, it was really bad because we have to be in the play-in tournament. That's all. That's like LeBron did. LeBron liked the play-in tournament until he didn't when we were on the verge of being in on it. I think the play-in tournament works. I think it'll be fun. I still think the Lakers will be in it, but I think they will advance easily. They'll be the 7 when all is said and done, and that would put them in a matchup with – who's the 2 right now?
Right this second, it's Utah.
Yeah, Utah. First-round matchup with Utah. That's what I'm calling for. All right, coming up now, we are giving away 2 of these. We're giving away a limited edition Senor and Senora World Champion Dodgers bobbleheads, Dia de los Muertos bobbleheads, in honor of Cinco de Mayo this week. Here's how you win. Jump at the phones, 877-710-ESPN. Got a stupid little game. Visit FOCO.com, your one-stop shop for all of your team's merchandise. 877-710-ESPN. Mesa and Ireland, this is 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, what's going on? It is Tuesday. Lakers win last night. Great news. Dodgers have already lost 1 today. They got blown out 7-0 in Chicago. They got another game coming up, and Trevor Bauer is going to try to change the Dodgers' luck and trajectory. We have got these really, really cool Dia de los Muertos Dodgers-themed bobbleheads. And we're going to give away 2 of them. They're from FOCO.com. We're giving away the Senor and the Senora to 1 winner. And, John, stupid little game as always. Do we have callers lined up?
Yep. You ready?
You ready?
Okay, Bill in Huntington Beach, you're up first. How you doing, Bill?
Doing well, guys. Glad to be with you.
Cool. Okay, here we go. Maury Will stole more bases in a Dodger uniform than any player ever. How many did he steal closest without going over?
How many, Bill?
555.
Okay,
James in Pasadena. Hey, James.
James in Pasadena.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, man.
James. How many career steals for Maury Wills?
Career steals. What was the last caller's number?
555.
Let's go 622.
Okay, man. Ray in Whittier. Hey, Ray.
Hey, what's going on?
Ray, Maury Will's career steals with the Dodgers. How many?
425.
Okay, and Pete in L.A. Hey, Pete.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Pete.
Man. How many career steals for Maury Wills?
Hey, you mind telling me the first guy, what number he said?
555. 555.
I'm going to go 575.
575.
All right, Mace, what's the actual number?
Our winner is Ray in Whittier with 425. Maury Wills, 490 career stolen bases. 490.
Wow.
So
very
congratulations
good,
Ray. To Ray from Whittier. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. Again, those really cool Dia de los Muertos-themed Dodger Championship bobbleheads are available at FOCO, F-O-C-O.com. So I mentioned a little bit earlier this hour that the level, I believe, the level of someone's mental breakdown can be measured by the number of inspirational quotes they post.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one relative in particular who is obviously experiencing something, because these are the last five posts that they have made.
Okay.
This is one of my relatives. Read it in, pray it in, live it out, pass it on. Okay, this is the next one. Note to self, when things feel overwhelming, remember one thought at a time, one task at a time, one day at a time. The next one, it's the words be strong written in sand. Be strong.
Yeah, something's going on.
The next one, the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. And then the last one, this is the last one, this is the very most recent post. You really don't know pain until you sat and begged God to heal your heart. Now, don't you think that person is having a mental breakdown? Those
yes.
are the last
there
five
is.
Posts.
No, it sounds to me like they had their heart broken and that you should reach out and ask and make sure everything's okay.
I don't like her.
So you're happy that she got her heart broken?
No, I'm not. She's married and has kids and all that stuff. But she's obviously losing her stuff. She's losing her.
I disagree. I think you're being harsh.
No, I'm not being harsh. I'm not being harsh. Too many inspirational quotes.
I have a few that I've posted. You want to hear mine?
Sure.
Okay. You can't save people. You can only love them. How do you feel about that one?
No, I can save people.
Sometimes you have to experience certain situations with certain people to fully understand just how much you don't need them.
I know.
Yours are kind of negative.
Yeah, I know.
No,
I don't
not.
Need them.
It's about what? Okay, this one. How you make others feel about themselves says a lot about you.
God. They're
trying to be positive. Like you should be positive and you know move on with your life and not be sad all the time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When I see a lot of those inspirational quotes, and that'll include you, Lindsay. There's a certain lonely desperation about them.
I don't post them on Facebook. I think that's weird.
Don't put them on Facebook?
No, I think that's weird.
Hey, I wanted to get to this before we get to Game of Games. So Elon Musk is hosting Saturday Night Live this week.
Right.
And I'm excited about it. Apparently some of the cast members are not, but I think it's really cool. And Elon Musk went on to Twitter over the weekend, and he threw out some sketch ideas for SNL.
Okay.
So I want to give you these, and you tell me if they would work, will work, and might actually be considered.
Okay.
Okay. Baby Shark Tank. It's Baby Shark mixed with the show Shark Tank.
Love
so
it.
So Baby Shark Tank.
They should absolutely do it.
It's a great one.
I love it.
One.
It's yep. a good one.
Okay. Irony Man. He defeats villains using the power of irony.
Sounds,
I would need to see it, but it sounds like a reach.
Okay. Woke James Bond.
Don't God, do it.
That one is awesome. Woke James Bond.
Well, the funny thing about that is the cast members who don't want to work with Elon Musk are being accused online of being too woke. You know, and so that would make fun of both of everybody. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's a perfect one. I'm excited to see Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live. They've had a lot of success with people who are completely out of the box, completely out of the blue. And I predict it will be one of the highest rated Saturday Night Lives, if not the most highest rated Saturday Night Live of the season. Because I think he is somebody that captures everybody's imagination, from digging tunnels to sending stuff to Mars to sending people to the space station to making all of his electric, all that stuff. I think he's a fascinating guy. I think he will be really, really interesting.
I watch everyone every, no matter who's hosting. So
yeah,
I'm in.
Me too.
He's very polarizing. I think my friend.
Why, by the way, Lindsay? Why is he polarizing? Yeah, he's an inventor.
That's part of the reason why. I mean, he says these crazy things and then he makes them happen, like the Tesla truck, and then saying, I'm going to have people in Mars and I'm going to have, you know, rocket ships within 5 years or however long it took them to build them. And I feel like he says these crazy things, but then for the most part, he makes them all happen.
Yeah, he's had some weird stuff he said about the pandemic that people don't like.
Yeah, but that's like, you know, that's like not liking Oprah or somebody like that because of their political views. Like, that stuff isn't always necessarily translate to, like, the entertainment part of it, you know?
Right.
The pandemic.
My friend who, you know, we were talking about Groundlings earlier, making fun of them. My friend Josh Potter, who's a comedian, he said, in regards to the woke people saying they don't want to be on Saturday Night Live with Elon Musk, he said, oh, I love when rich improv kids from the Groundlings lecture me about wealth inequality. He's right.
That's
He's
awesome.
Right.
That's awesome. I'm not woke. I'm half awake. That's what I am. Just half awake. I get some of it.
I would say you're like 10% awake.
What's that?
I'd say you're like 10% awake.
10% awake. I'm awake till 7. Then it sort of drifts away on me.
Then it fades.
Away. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is my game today. And Ireland is off to a really good start in the month of May. Actually,
Lindsay has the
Lindsay
lead, I think.
Has two in May. Ireland has one. Michael Thompson has one. We will do Game of Games coming
Where are
up
you
next
at, Jorge?
For you. Yeah, Jorge, wake up. Yet to scratch, as Stu Lance would say. Mason, Ireland, 710 ES.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
PN. That's right. It is Game of Games time, and it is brought to you by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. All right. So we've got Game of Games right now, and we've got Ireland, we've got Lindsay, and we've got Jorge. And it is a game of Mason and Ireland Jeopardy. So you must answer in the form of a question. Must answer in the form of a question. And I'm going to be serious about that. Your name is your buzzer.
Yeah, you're terrible at that.
I'm terrible at it, but you better be good at it.
Sure. Right. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. Number one. It's 27 outs in baseball or a score of 300 in bowling.
Ireland. What is a perfect game?
Correct. What is a perfect game? Ireland's on the board. Number two, when one person is being difficult, you could say it takes two people to do this dance.
Lindsay. What is tango?
Yes, takes two to tango. Good job. Right on the board. 1-1. This is what Luke Skywalker lost in his fight with Jorge.
What is his father?
No.
Lindsay. What is his lightsaber?
No, Ireland. It's all you if you can do it. Yeah.
Oh, we'll finish the question.
this is what Luke Skywalker lost in his fight with Darth Vader.
What is his hand?
What is his hand is the right answer. Yes, lost his right hand in that fight. All right, number four.
Whoops.
Mark Ruffalo plays this character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Jorge. Who is the Hulk?
Who is the Hulk? Jorge's on the board.
What?
It's Ireland
Mark
2,
Ruffalo
Lindsay 1, Jorge 1.
I had no
number
idea.
Number five. He's part of the Brooklyn Super Team and won a ring in Cleveland.
Lindsay. Who is Kyrie Irving?
Who is Kyrie Irving is the right answer. It's Ireland 2, Lindsay 2, Jorge 1. Number six. It's the form of currency in Mexico.
Ireland. What is the peso?
The peso is right. Ireland takes a lead, and we've got
How
one
can I
left
lose that
here.
One? Jeez.
Where are you?
Come on. Polish up, Jorge.
Lindsay, you need this one to stay in the game and make it a force overtime. Number seven. He won 355 career games pitching for the Cubs, the Braves, the Dodgers.
Lindsay? Oh, man. Who is John Lester?
No. 355 career games with the Cubs, the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Padres.
I didn't think he won this many games, but Ireland.
Ireland.
Who is Greg Maddux?
Greg Maddux won 355 career games. Absolutely right. We will not see that happen again.
Wow.
Not in this day and age of Major League Baseball.
Games.
So Ireland gets the win going away.
You hear people say we'll never see a 300-game winner again, and he just pitched like 3 years ago. How long has he been out of baseball?
Oh, he's been out of baseball. What, isn't he already in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame already.
His last year, 2008 with the Padres was his last year. He's been out of baseball for that long?
So who do you think has the most career wins currently in Major League Baseball?
Career wins currently.
Yep.
Okay. This is just a guess.
Yep.
What was it? Was that the voice of God or was that Greg Bergman?
I don't know. Who is it? Justin Verlander?
It is Justin Verlander. Any idea how many wins?
250?
226.
Wow.
There's no way we're going to see somebody with 300.
I thought it was either him or Kershaw.
Greinke is next at 210.
Lester's got to be up there, right?
Lester's at 193. Kershaw's at 179. And Scherzer is at 177. Those guys are never getting to 300.
Okay, so this came up the other day when the Dodgers hit two grand slams in the first two innings of their game.
Sure.
And, you know, Fernando Tatis's dad hit two grand slams in the same inning.
Yeah, crazy.
All right. So what's a more unlikely record to be broken? That or Johnny Vandermeer, who threw two consecutive no-hitters?
Probably the no-hitters. Definitely the no-hitters.
I think it's the no-hitters. I think it requires such luck.
The grand slams in the same inning, you have to get incredibly lucky.
Right, but we have what? Three no-hitters a year? Four no-hitters a year?
Right, but...
And plus, you could be pitching again. You could be hitting against, like, a scrub mop-up guy, like a position player... Because they ran out of bullpen arms, you know, at the end of a game and get lucky.
I firmly believe neither one will ever happen, but I think the double no-hitter one is the hardest of the two. Hitting for the cycle, by the way, is harder than throwing a no-hitter. There are fewer people who have hit for the cycle.
Because nobody ever gets the triple.
Correct. I saw one hitting for the cycle. It was. Is my mic clicking in and out?
Yeah, it is.
That's just me.
No, it is.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Something's disconnected here. Something's disconnected.
Did you unplug?
Why don't you take it, Ireland, while I figure it out?
Okay. What Mason normally does when this happens is he kicks the cord out from the wall, and then blames the equipment. Like he'll come up and say, I don't know what's wrong. I didn't change anything. And then Juan will walk in and go, well, you know, you unplugged this cord and kicked it out of the wall. So that's normally what happens when this happens.
Yeah, that's not what happened. This is actually a technological issue that I need somebody to take a look at.
Sounds like you're messing with something.
Yeah, we're going to wait a while to get somebody to take a look at this thing.
I was going to say, we have no engineers. What are you talking about?
So, Ireland, I wanted to finish with a question that we asked very early in the show today.
Yeah.
And that is, the Lakers are currently the five. If everything froze just as it is right now, it would be Lakers, Clippers in the first. Would you rather?
Okay, we're losing. We're losing, okay, Mason. I don't know what's going on with this.
Are you doing that on purpose?
No. Yeah.
Well, now you sound fine. What'd you do?
I have no idea what's going on.
Well, now you sound perfect.
Okay. Would you rather play the Clippers in the first round? Play in the play-in tournament, be the seven?
I personally, it's a good question, and I think that there's a thing called tempting fate.
Uh-huh.
And if you try and lose intentionally to get a better playoff position, it often comes back to bite you. I think the way you answer your question is you play as hard as you can, try and win every game, and then just live with where that puts you. If you start losing games on purpose because you want to be the seven or the eight and it throws you into the play-in tournament, the next thing you know, you run it like, okay, so this is worst-case scenario. But let's say the Lakers take choice B in your equation there.
Yes.
And they drop into the play-in tournament and they lose that first game. They lose the 7-8 game.
Yes.
So, like, you know, I don't know, Ja Morant gets hot or something. And
yeah, right. You know. And then you got to play another one.
Right. That other one, that one game to save your season, could be against Steph Curry.
Yeah, true.
And then Steph knocks you out, and then you never get to play the Clippers anyway. I would say try and stay out of the play-in tournament, win as many games as you can, and then if you get five or six, you get a week off to get your people healthy. You can practice if you want. And you don't have to play in the play-in tournament. If you got to play the Clippers in the first round, you got to play them. If you're going to win a title, you got to go through everybody who's ever in front of you. So when you start trying to jockey for position and try and gerrymander the matchups, it rarely works out well for you. Like last year, everybody said the Lakers caught an incredibly unlucky break when they had to play Portland, when they were the one and Portland was the eight, because yeah, Damian Lillard was the
pretty
hottest player
seed
in the bubble. Yeah, best eight seed ever. Charles Barkley picked Portland to win. Well, the Lakers beat him in five. And then in the next round, they ran into the Houston Rockets, and everybody said, well, James Harden could just go off. Lakers won it in five. All right, you know, so it's, I mean.
Yeah, I just think of all the matchups, the Clippers, they are not the ones I want in the first round.
Well, they're not. I'll give you that. They're not the ones you want, but
I'm not saying you tank. I think you continue to play every game to win. I'm just saying, when it comes to matchups, I would much rather have Utah in the first round than the Clippers. Wouldn't you?
No.
Really? You'd rather have Utah? You'd rather have the Clippers than Utah?
I would, because I think the Clippers have yet to prove they can win in the postseason. I think Utah's a better rounded team, and I'm not so sure Phoenix isn't the team that scares me the most.
I want to get this in real quick here. MHS tweets. We were talking earlier about breaking up with people that we later have regretted. Somebody has got a great memory because they said, what about Emily Weber? Emily Weber was my high school girlfriend, and we pledged our love to each other on the night we were both going away to our respective universities.
Have a surprise for her.
Yeah, the reality was that I met another girl the very night I got to Bowling Green, and that relationship ended. But I did love Emily Weber. She's the first person who I ever fell in love with. So somebody's
right, but can't we now say because you're happy with the choices you've made in life that Emily caught a huge break?
Yeah, Emily did catch a huge. She married a straight guy.
Right. And
yeah, good for her.
You would have had to break up with her.
Absolutely would.
You know, like they say on the Instagram posts, sometimes the best prayers are the ones that are unanswered.
Oh, God, an inspirational quote. Jesus. that is it. We are done. We are back tomorrow. Make sure you're here at 12:55 sharp. Coming up next for you, the finest afternoon drive, the bigger and better afternoon show here on 710 ESPN. It is Sedano, LZ, and Cap coming at you right now, 710 ESPN.